Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday Night, Tailgate.
Former Cincinnati Bengals and Atlanta Falcons tight end, and you're listening to TNT, Thursday Night Tailgate. Brace yourself for the explosion.
And now back in making his 12th appearance with us is former Steelers Pro Bowl linebacker LaVon Kirkland. Let me remind you a little bit about LaVon's background. He's from Lamar, South Carolina, played his college ball at Clemson, where he was a consensus All-American in 1991. He is also a member of their All-Century team and was inducted into their Hall of Fame back in 2001. He was also inducted into the state of South Carolina's Athletic Hall of Fame in 2008. And in 2017, he was inducted into South Carolina's Football Hall of Fame as well. Earlier this year, inducted into Clemson's Ring of Honor, he was a second-round draft pick in 1992 by the Steelers, and he played in the NFL from 92 to 2002. All but two of those seasons were in Pittsburgh. He did play 1 year each in Seattle and Philadelphia. He was selected to the Pro Bowl in back-to-back years of 96 and 97. He was the Steelers team MVP in 98 and 99. And he was also named to the NFL's All-Decade Team for the 1990s. LaVon is a member of our TNT Guest Hall of Fame. He is now the Vice President of the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, and we're thrilled he's back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, LaVon, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Great to have you back.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I hope everything is great, and I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's fantastic. So, LaVon, we got to start by congratulating you. I mean, the accolades keep right on coming your way. Clemson put you in their Ring of Honor a little bit earlier this year. We're really, really happy for you, and it's all very richly deserved. Got to feel good for you, right? Your state, outside of naming you governor, has pretty much done everything to tell you how much they appreciate your accomplishments and the things you've done. You've got quite a legacy there.
Oh, thank you very much. It was a very proud moment for me. I really thought about my parents as I was told that I was going to be a part of the Ring of Honor. It's just a blessing, you know, and hopefully what I do and what I'm going to do, my intention is just to make good of it, make sure that I'm giving back, but it's indeed an honor. I'm really happy about it.
And talk about what you're doing now, because as the person who's, you know, I think, you know, business development for the Hall of Fame, for the Football Hall of Fame there in South Carolina, talk about the things you're doing to help develop that program.
Well, you know, basically, definitely their major fundraiser, and what we do at the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame is make a difference through football. We do that by educating, empowering, and also encouraging student athletes all the way from 8 years old and beyond. And we do that through vehicles called our Bridge Builder Program, our Workforce Connect, and also our Business Connect. And the goal is, after they go through all that, is that they'll be better academically, they'll have a positive character, and then also they'll have a career. So we're doing some really good work out there trying to make sure that our kids from South Carolina have mentors, have network, and have a positive plan as far as their future is concerned.
So, LaVon, I want to switch gears a little bit on you. Start talking about the college football season. And over the last few years, it's really seemed like the college football season is a 14-game exhibition season leading up to the time when Alabama and Clemson play for the national championship. So give us your thoughts on your Clemson Tigers this year. And if one team is got you a little bit concerned, who is that team that you might end up facing for a national championship?
Well, to tell you the truth, I think the team that everybody kind of worried about before was Texas A&M, and the Tigers kind of handled those guys pretty well. I would say that it's a very young team, especially on the defensive side. You know, you take away the guys they had in the front four, really the front seven, and most of those guys are gone, especially the front seven, the front four. So they're pretty new, but they had guys who've had some experience before, and they're, you know, when you're a new defense, you know, they're bound for some things to happen, but this young defense has played well. They're pretty much a juggernaut on offense with Trevor Lawrence and guys like T. Higgins and Justin Ross and Travis Etienne. those guys can really play. But as you look down the schedule, you know, South Carolina is going to be always tough because they're our rival. But, you know, they're pretty overpowering. I don't know if I see anybody on paper that can really beat us, but you never know when the game starts. You never know how it's going to turn out. Are there going to be some injuries or whatever may happen? But for right now, they're looking pretty good. You know, Syracuse is definitely going to be a challenge because they're playing at the Vile Stadium and they carry a dome. And that's usually, you know, last couple of years, Syracuse has really played Clemson well. So it'll be interesting to see what the Tigers do with the young team in the carrier dome.
Bob, questions for LeVon?
And LeVon, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I mean, we've had you on 12 times here and the TV site also. There's not many questions we haven't asked you, but I want to go back to your youth in South Carolina. We asked this to a lot of our guests. The sports that you played, LeVon, and are you a big proponent of the boys and girls getting into various sports, even if they'd like to specialize one later in life?
Well, I always tell people that I think playing multiple sports really actually helps you in the sport of your choosing. I was a football player, but I also played basketball for 3 years in the high school level, and I also ran track. And what I felt was those sports made you a better, well-rounded athlete, and you can take things from one sport and add it to the other sport. So I know there's a lot of specializing going on and guys are doing some training and they're doing one particular thing, but I think if you really want to maximize your abilities that you try different sports. So I'm a big supporter of playing multiple sports.
I've told you in the past, LeVon, the thing that I was most impressed, that you played 11 years, really never missed a game, which is just amazing back in that era. And your rookie year of 92, you didn't start any games, but you played in all 16. But when you weren't starting, you were looking at guys like Hardy Nickerson, our good friend Greg Lloyd, of course, the great Rod Woodson, and you probably were like a sponge getting educated. Just talk about how much you learned just watching these guys that year.
Well, yeah, of course, those guys were great players, and they're professionals. They know how to go by their business. But I'm going to tell you the one guy that I really learned a whole lot from just by watching him, really not talking to him about the profession, was Damani Dawson. Just the way that he worked on the field was amazing. So I will always watch that guy. But back in those days, I was on the scout team, and He came hard every single time, but you're right though. I mean, guys like Rod Woodson and Greg Lloyd, who I think is probably one of the most underrated linebackers who ever played a game, definitely one of the toughest and probably the hardest hitter. The way they approached the game, the physicality, the mentality was amazing to watch. And, you know, I learned a lot from like Kevin Green also and Jerry Oslowski, so I learned a lot from those guys. So I was in a fortunate situation, you know. I didn't have to play right away, and I could look back and just kind of soak it up. And so the next year, I felt like I was ready to go and take over the starting job, which I did, and it turned out to be a really nice career.
LeVon, I got to get your thoughts on the Steelers from this past Sunday. Goodness knows, you got to talk me off the ledge. That was, unfortunately, as bad a performance as I've seen from the Steelers in years. What happened? How can they rebound from that?
Well, you know, fortunately, this is a profession, and usually guys don't take losses and make it another loss. So those guys will come back, and a lot of times you really do learn a lot when you don't win the game. You never want to lose a game in that fashion. But, you know, I expect them to come back and play a lot better. You know, they got some young linebacks in there, and, you know, they kind of went they kind of went after the play action pass a little too much, you know. So, you know, when you're on that level and the game is as fast as it is, man, you have to really make sure that you're keying on the right thing and you're seeing the right things. And so your eyes, your feet to make the right decisions. I felt like they didn't really make a lot of the right decisions, that the Patriots had them on their heels the whole time. And that's just a defensive standpoint of it, too. You know, you got to give the Patriots a lot of credit on the offensive side. They got some guys in that backfield, man, that can really play, can really cover. And basically, they just took it to the Steelers. And sometimes that happens. You don't want it to happen, especially as a fan and an observer. You don't want to see that if you have affiliation with Pittsburgh. But, yeah, that was a top look for them.
And LeVon, you know, to me, it was sort of the same old plays that we've seen the Patriots run for years now. And from a technical standpoint, as a guy who was a middle linebacker, I mean, it's that Julian Edelman drag route. It's the crossing patterns to try to pick somebody off. When they're running those sorts of plays, you know, as a guy who's now coaching a lot as well, how do you coach somebody how to take care of that and not get rubbed off and not to lose Julian Edelman somehow as he's running a drag route?
Well, a lot of times, you know, he's basically the tight end that they're not using anymore. And what's happening is the linebackers are probably not seeing the high hats, which definitely would tell you that it is a play action pass. And they're biting up, which leaves that middle pretty much wide open for whoever that third receiver is or that tight end. So, you know, a lot of times I would just tell guys, just maybe back up a step and understand whatever formation that they're in, that it may be a run. Even though it looks like a pass, you kind of have to give yourself a little, back yourself up a little bit so you can have a better peripheral of what is going on. And understanding that if they do hand it off, you can always come up and make that play. But if you bite on it, then that element, he's going to be wide open, or Tyler's going to be wide open. So it's really about seeing the right things. And I don't know how much that's being taught. I'm sure it is. But, it's really a feel for the game. So, you know, the repetition, they will get better with that. But that's what I would say, you know. And it's all about communication, too. When you're playing defense, man, it's about understanding where you belong and also understanding where your help is. If you understand that, then you can take away something. But if you don't, then you're going to be all over the place, because think of it this way. The offense, they know where they're going. You know, we're just reactors. And what you try to do is you try to take away something. And evidently, we really didn't take away anything. I mean, we just kind of ran just amok on us. And like I said, I mean, sometimes we're in man-to-man and running those little rub routes. And being in man-to-man, it's tough to defend those. What we did back in the day was, I thought Dick LeBeau had a sense, because he played DB. He never really wanted to put those guys in harm's way. That's why we did a lot of the fire zone. So it gave you, we could blitz, but it gave you coverage on the back end. So nobody really was in danger of just getting beat deep or just getting beat for big plays. And I think what it did was it held the offense up enough so you can cover guys. And we kind of understood where we needed to be. So a lot of times you're in man-to-man, man, it's tough, especially if you don't get back to the pass. If you don't get back to the quarterback, then you can't expect those DBs to hold those guys for as long as they did on Sunday. And that was probably a part of the issue there.
And LeVon, What's that? Go ahead and finish your thought.
I said, I hope I broke it down enough for you guys on that one.
Absolutely. And LeVon, you guys experienced something similar. In 97, you guys got beat by 30 by the Cowboys in week one, but you went on to finish 11-5 and win the division that year. Is that when something like that happens, do you even revisit the film to understand what went wrong? Or do you just leave that alone? Like, all right, that was crazy. We're not even going to look at it.
Well, no. I mean, well, in that situation, it was the first game, so you do take a look at it. And a lot of times, honestly, it's not as bad as you think it is. It's just a play here or a play there. And you understand, wow, if we can correct those things and be a little bit more technical sound, then we're going to be all right. and we know that it's early in the year. So that's the good thing about the NFL is that things are usually in perspective. In college, you know, you're talking about more emotions. You're talking about guys who are not quite developed as far as their mindset is concerned. And so they may take that one loss and make it another loss. But in the NFL, you get beat pretty bad. You can bounce back from that. And you can say, like, okay, let's regroup. Let's focus on our next opponent. I know it's cliche, but you say, you know, one game at a time. And normally that's how you got to really approach it. And so, you know, that's kind of, I thought, the way we looked at it. Like, hey, it was a bad game for us. Let's come back next week and get a little better. And that's what we did. So hopefully this team can do the same thing.
LaVon, I want to go back and talk about one of your teammates and a guy that I thought was on the trajectory to be one of the greatest tight ends ever, and that's Eric Green. Unfortunately, he had a series of some tough injuries and tough times staying healthy. But boy, what a dynamic tight end he was back in the day. Talk about what you remember about Eric.
I tell people this all the time, that I thought Eric Green was one of the tougher tight ends to cover. And I think really playing against a guy like him in practice helped me to get better, because nobody moved as well as he did at his size. His body could seal off a lot of things. I mean, it was hard to get around, but he was really quick, really fast. He ran what we call the Y-shake as well as anybody else ever done. So this guy was one of the most athletic tight ends ever. I really did admire Eric Green. We were really cool as teammates. So to me, he gave me a lot of problems because he could use his body, but don't let the smooth take through you. He can run the seam route. He can catch. He can do a whole lot. He's one of the, probably, if he doesn't get hurt, man, it's really, I think his career might have been a whole lot better than what it was. This guy was very phenomenal in what he did.
Bob, one more for LaVon before we let him go.
Yeah, sure. LaVon, you had mentioned Dick LeBeau, and I know Ron Jaworski said he was arguably the best ever to coach defense. And his first year in the league, well, first year with the Steelers was your first year. What do you remember him that first year as a secondary coach? They said he was very responsible for guys like Woodson and Lloyd and Carnell Lake going to Pro Bowls and becoming the great players they were. But what actually made him, in a nutshell, what made him so good, LaVon?
Well, I think the thing with Coach LeBeau was he was a very good communicator and a very good instructor, teacher. When I came from the college ranks, you know, you're so used to being yelled at. You're so used to being cursed out, but nobody's really giving you any instructions. You know, but nobody's telling you what to do. They're just yelling at you because you made a mistake or something. And I thought that he communicated with his players very well. And also, players really gravitated to him because they knew how much he actually cared. He talked to you not so much about football all the time, about how your family was doing, how you were doing. I think because he related so well, because he was a player, and he understood the game from a player's point of view, where a lot of times, especially back then, there were not a lot of coaches that actually played the game on the highest level as he did. And I think that gave him an edge over a whole lot of coaches. You know, you got coaches that can explain the defense, you know, can draw up the defense, but they don't really understand the player and what the player is going through on the field. I think Dick LeBeau did. I think that's why I want the Fire Zones really worked pretty well, because he understood what it was like to be a DB, guarding guy, man to man, and the blitz don't get there, you're in trouble. So he was innovative, he was creative, and most of all, he understood and he related to players. I'm telling you, at that time on defense, man, he could have sold anything that he wanted to sell. We believed in him, and, you know, we called ourselves LeBeau Soldiers because he was so good at relating to us and helping us understand it. And not only that, this last little thing here, It's that he listened to the players, too. He understood that the players have a perspective that sometimes some coaches don't have on the sideline. And he would ask you what you saw. You know, he would communicate to you, and that made you take a little bit more ownership of playing defense. So he was incredible on that side of the ball, and to me, he'll be the best ever.
LaVon, before we let you go, remind our listeners how they can stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing as VP of Development for the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, and stay up to date with you, whether it's online or it's on social media.
Well, yeah, of course. We have the Inside Blitz for LaVon Kirkland. That's on podbean.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, and we also have our Facebook, and you can catch us live on that. Me personally, I am on social media, therealLaVonKirkland.com. And so if you ever want to visit me, you can do that. I think on Twitter, I am also Kirkland number 44 underscore or something like that. I'm not quite sure with Twitter. I'm really not on Twitter that much, but on Facebook, I am on a whole bunch. And for the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, that's how you can reach me. And we're doing some great things. We really are making a difference through football. And I think that everybody can relate because we all know athletes that had opportunities to do some great things, but maybe fall by the wayside. And we're trying to prevent that from ever happening again.
Well, LaVon, we can't thank you enough for coming back and being a part of the show again tonight and for all the times that you've been here again, going all the way back to the very first show. You were guest number one almost 8 years ago to the day, 8 years ago next week. But you've been really fantastic to us, and we can't thank you enough, and we appreciate your time again tonight.
Guys, thank you so much. Anytime you need me, please don't hesitate.
Thank you.
We appreciate you, LaVon. Take care. All the best to you and your family, my friend. We'll catch up soon.
All right, thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. All right.
See ya. That's the great LaVon Kirkland. Bob, you think about going back 8 years. To a guy who joined us week one on a show he never heard of with a couple of guys he never heard of, was great back then and has been great every single time he has been on the show again, 12 times tonight. Just a special man and a wonderful coach and a wonderful career and certainly a Steeler legend. And boy, it's always a thrill having him as part of the show.
We've been blessed with many guys like him, Chris, that have been incredibly, incredibly loyal. Just one phone call and they come on. And this is a guy that was one of the all-time greats. You know, we're talking about a guy that probably should be in Canton if he didn't play in Pittsburgh with a lot of other Cantonites. So, great guy, one of our favorites. And he's as good as a person as he was a football player.